This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich with you for the next 4 hours. Of course, we will get to every NFL game, every bet in our account, every lean we have, every game we absolutely hate. We will tell you why. Rohit Panaya is going to join us to talk a little UFC 323. And then hour number four, it will be the contest show. Yes, we are done with Grandissimo, but still 45 entries over there fighting for $18.7 million in Circa Survivor. So we will get the big reveal there on that one as well as millions, because, hey, we got a new quarter and all of that, Mike, and people forget that you get a seven-figure check if you win that thing too.
No, that's the whole point, right? You get $1 million if you take down millions, but the quarter is what's important. Everybody's 0-0 right now, Matt. We got a shot here to be able to take down the big prize for the final quarter. That's where everyone's laser focused on here. So make sure you get those millions picks in too. Even if you are dead 500 right now, you can still win some money in the final quarter. So make sure you get your picks in.
And you're not doing that to us, because we don't have ours in yet.
Oh, no.
No,
we haven't even talked about it yet. So, yes, I am reminding us as well that we do have an entry that we must enter picks in, because we're about to go 25-0.
Yes.
Just sweep through that last quarter, baby.
There it is. Absolutely love it. It is 14-0 at halftime, Georgia over Alabama. This has been, we get a block punt that was a big turning point in this one, Mike, and then outside of that, a bunch of people complaining about the chest pass at the Dr. Pepper halftime thing, where people win the scholarship or whatever it is or something like that. But not a ton. This was kind of a rock fight to begin. It's kind of sloppy. Not a lot to love about this game.
No, has not been the awesomest watch through one half. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the block punt sets up a short field that gives Georgia a lead, really just one other drive, but that was a 47-yard touchdown drive off an interception. Mm-hmm. So essentially turnovers set up both touchdowns for Georgia here. Outside of that, just not much happening. You mentioned the Dr. Pepper thing. I got to say this. You find out like weeks in advance that you're going to be in that. This isn't like pulling people out of the crowd. How do you not just take like 10 minutes to learn how to throw a football so that you have the best possible opportunity to win $100,000? If you gave me a chance to win $100,000 at anything in 2 weeks to practice, I would not be donkey chest passing it through that hoop. I would be doing the best possible way to do it. It does not take that long. Like, we need to up the game or reset the rules, because this is ridiculous.
That's how Mike Somich feels about that, if anybody's wondering.
Got anything. 2 weeks to learn anything, and I would do better than what they did.
We just kicked off here in the second half. It's a 10.5, 11 to 11.5 live line out there, depending on the book that you're looking at. A very low 37.5 total here in this game, as Alabama was shut out in the first half. They get the ball here, Mike, to start the second half. And, you know, this is more important game for Alabama than it is for Georgia.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting here what the committee is going to do. We've heard you're not going to get penalized if you're in the championship game and you play this extra game. However, we're already hearing BYU is going to drop out of the 11 spot, so they got penalized. We're not going to penalize Bama here, who is in the 9 spot. It's fascinating to see how this plays out. Obviously, very important for Alabama to at least keep this close. If this runs out to a 28-0 game, something around there, all of a sudden, it looks like there's a path for both Notre Dame and Miami to be able to make the playoff. So a lot of eyes watching this game from a fandom perspective, from a betting perspective, not just because of this specific game spread in total, but also all the make the college football playoff, miss the college football playoff tickets as well.
You mentioned BYU going down earlier today, 34-7 to Texas Tech. Of course, Texas Tech moves to 12-1 and will look to be very, very high in the playoff there. BYU never really got it going here in this one. Turnovers left and right as well, Mike. And it was pretty much in the second quarter. BYU had the 7-0 lead in the first quarter. And once we started the second quarter, it was all Texas Tech as they go and score all 34 of their points in the second, third, and fourth quarter and shut out BYU for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a Marvel fan, but I kept thinking about Thanos during this game, where it's just, he says, has a line said that says, "I am inevitable." Kind of felt like Texas Tech was just inevitable in this game. The BYU was hanging on as much as they could, but that Texas Tech front seven was just dominating the entire football game. We saw BYU go down, score on that drive, and then nothing afterward. You mentioned the turnovers. That was a big part of this story. I actually thought the BYU defense played pretty well considering they gave up 34. It's just the offense had no chance being able to move that football against a very, very stout Texas Tech defense. And that defense is why they are a legitimate contender to win it all here. If that front seven shows up, they're able to get to the quarterback with four, cover with seven. That Texas Tech team is awfully interesting, especially as a live dog. There's someone I'm probably going to be betting if I'm catching points.
It was 3rd and 9 for Alabama, a sack by Georgia, 4th and 18. They will be punting the ball back to Georgia as they are up 14-0 right now. They're going to get this ball at midfield. They're going to get this ball past midfield. They're going to get this ball at the 40-yard line. So they're basically already in field goal range right now. It's a disaster out of the half there for Alabama. Never had a shot. Mike on the 3rd and 9, just a free runner at Simpson, and he gets sacked. They have to punt it back to Georgia. And so that is the absolute worst way to start the second half if you're Bama.
Yeah, we see the live line flash all the way up to -16.5 now on Georgia, who had the opportunity to score before the half as well, had two timeouts, about 45, 50 seconds left, and decided to run the football on second down, took a very conservative route, ended up punting it back, so no blood there. But this is a big opportunity here. Georgia going up 21-0 would make this feel almost insurmountable from a lead perspective.
Yeah, this is – right now, it almost feels, Mike, it's like if you don't hold them to a field goal here – This is game. Yeah, it's gonna be game. And it's certainly, I mean, your sack would be massive right here to at least knock them out of field goal range. But they're not gonna give them the shot. They're just gonna run the ball here on first down. So we'll keep you updated there on that one. But again, just a huge lead here for Georgia and a disastrous start for Alabama in the second half. We did have a couple of Friday finishes as well. James Madison took down Troy 31-14, and then Tulane took down North Texas 34-21 to move to 11-2 on the season. And, you know, Tulane's going to be, they'll be screaming.
Why will they be screaming?
Trying to say that they should be in the, you know, all Tulane fans are going to say they should be in the playoff, you know.
Tulane's in, yeah. Right? Like, there's no way they're not going to be in. You have to take five conference champions, yeah. which means that, like, you're going to take a non-Power 5 conference champion. James Madison was not impressive in that win. They were 23.5, 24.5 point favorites.
They're screaming, you know.
It was 17-14 against Troy in the third quarter. Like the American has been the best non-Power 4 conference all season long. Feels like the conference champion should get in unless we have a real statement by any of these other conferences. Boise State probably the best team if we're just going with like best team available.
Well,
here,
right, who won a conference title. We figured that out, but they're actually not trying to put the best teams in this thing.
Well, no, they're not, because we're going to have possibly two if Duke goes out and wins. I actually think the James Madison loss gives Duke some light here. Duke may be able to make the playoff with five losses because of how poorly we saw those conference title games go last night. North Texas was the expected winner, expected team everybody thought would be into the playoff. Their loss to Tulane means that I think Tulane is definitely in here. And the question is, you know, if Virginia wins and we see a blowout here, is that Notre Dame and Miami? Is it just one of the two? How does this play out? But depending on this final score and then the ACC title game we have coming up a little later.
Oh, boy, Mike. We get a conversion from Georgia, and then the very next play down inside the 10-yard line. They are going to have first and goal here against Alabama. That certainly feels like, I know it's early in the third quarter, but the way Alabama's played on offense, the way Georgia's played on defense, feels like it could already be the nail in the coffin here in this thing.
Yeah, 21 points, like I said, feels a little insurmountable at this point based on what we've seen from the offense from Alabama, because it hasn't been at any point dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. It has been, if you've seen one or two plays, you're like, oh, that's a sweet 8-yard gain, but there's been nothing down the field really pushing, and this Georgia team has been leaning on the Alabama defense, and you've started to see some breaks in the dam there, and we'll see if the floodgates open up here with another Georgia touchdown.
Yeah, two more games. They're going to be kicking off in a couple of hours. That'll be Indiana and Ohio State, Duke and Virginia. Of course, we will get into those and give you our thoughts here. But, Mike, it's going to be UVA by about just on the other side of a field goal, it seems like, at most places, unless we get the flood of money as kickoff gets close. And Ohio State's pretty much been four. It's been four and a half, but it's pretty much been four for the last 24-ish hours or so. So it seems like we're probably going to – it seems like it's been beaten into place here. It's probably going to be four when we kick this thing.
Yeah, it's been an interesting line. If you followed this a couple weeks ago, there was a look ahead for the Big Ten title game, and it was Ohio State minus six against Indiana. We saw that consistently get bet down. A 3.5 did pop at one point. Immediately that went to four. Now when 4.5's come up, immediately that gets bought back down to four. So I agree with you. I think this number is going to be four when we kick off. Going to be a fascinating game, Matt, because my numbers say four is a little bit of value, not much, but a little bit on Indiana. My gut tells me I should be betting Ohio State here. So I haven't bet the game, but it's going to be a fascinating watch and going to decide the number one seed and possibly the Heisman as well, although that market's gotten a lot more interesting in the last week, according to the bettors as well.
A nice hole there, and the Georgia running back takes it in for the touchdown. The extra point is up and good. So 21-0, 10:47 left in the third quarter. It's going to take a Herculean effort here from Alabama to come back in this thing. And like you said, Mike, we're going to find out if the committee lied to us or not, because do you get penalized? I mean, we're human. We're watching a beatdown. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
It's going to be fascinating. You rewind a few years ago when there were just four teams allowed in the playoffs. We had 1-2 Alabama. Alabama beats Georgia, knocks them back to six. Mm-hmm. The committee cared then. The committee's going to care with BYU. They're going to fall. I'm just saying, we've seen the precedent here where they're willing to do it, although they say we don't judge you based on this extra game. They have clearly judged teams based on this extra game in the past. It's a fascinating story here with this blowout brewing. Alabama, they need to play for the playoff right now. They need to try and make this a 14-point, 10-point game and show a little life if they want to be alive come college football playoff time.
Yeah, that was that whole you and I could have scored on that one right there. That is... I don't have the 40 I used to have, but I think I could have made it through that hole right there. Offensive line was awesome for Georgia. Guy goes in untouched. 21-0 Georgia over Alabama. About 10:47 there left in the third quarter. Keep you updated on that one. Talk about Duke and Virginia, Indiana, and Ohio State when we come back.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somage on VSiN, the sports betting network.
21-0 Georgia over Alabama. And Mike, we did a little research here on the break, and the betting market still believes, no matter what happens here, that Alabama is going to get in. And it actually has changed since we came back live. It is minus 550 now for Alabama to make the playoff. Notre Dame at minus 800, James Madison plus 155, Miami plus 175.
Yeah, interesting that the Miami number going down, but also Notre Dame and Alabama getting lower. That I don't understand how that all three of them can be bidding bet. Like that to me, it's like the three of them are fighting for two spots. So if Notre Dame is minus 800 and Bama is minus 550, like, shouldn't Miami be floating up? Because that's the spots, like the James Madison spot is an auto bid spot. It's not an at-large spot. So with two at-larges available, you would think that those three teams would have those odds fluctuating almost in unison, where you're not seeing that unison move. This may be beneficial for Notre Dame, because if you do drop BYU out and Notre Dame's at 10 and Miami's at 11, well, now you might move Notre Dame up to 9, move Alabama to 10, and then the committee can say, well, they're not next to each other. We're not going to take head-to-head into account. It's all just ridiculous to me. I'm going to still go back to the point, like, five conference champions need to be in there. If you aren't within 21 points, just put, like, Jeffrey Benson in the room. And if he's like, look, sorry, it's over 21 points, they are not allowed in. That should be, like, the spread should not be over 21 points in any of these college football games. Remember, too, the top four seeds get byes. So you're not facing the number one, the number two, the number three, or the number four team in the country. So if you're not within 21 points of the number five team in the country, just don't let them in. Say, great job this year. Pat them on the back. Give them a bunch of money. But you're not good enough to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, it is another sack for Georgia. 3rd and 15. For Alabama, we are under the 9-minute mark now here in this game as Simpson throws out of his own end zone, does get a completion, and Georgia was playing pretty far off, but going to be about 4 yards short. So they'll be punting it back to Georgia. It's going to be it's going to be right at the 8-minute mark when Georgia takes back over here in the third quarter, up 21-0 on Alabama that just cannot get anything going at all on offense. And Georgia's dialing up the blitzes at the exact right time. Like, they're getting home every time they dial it up. They're getting sacks every time they dial it up.
Yeah, the negative plays are just killing this Alabama offense. You can't have negative plays against the Georgia defense. You need to at least be a neutral play where you're not setting up third and 15 there. You mentioned it. They got a completion, but Georgia was backed off 17, 18 yards, just saying, great, throw it underneath. We will rally to the football, tackle you, and you're not going to go for it inside your own 20. You're going to punt it back to us. We're going to be able to grind the clock. We're going to use our run game. It's exactly what they're going to try and do here, is they bleed it down further. And if you look at the live line now, we've seen it tick over the 21 number. Georgia 21.5-point favorites here in the SEC title game with right around 9 minutes left in the third quarter.
So the game everybody is going to be focused on here, Mike, Indiana and Ohio State as we sit right now. Four at the majority of shops out there. We see a lot of times where FanDuel wants to be kind of off market. So they are sitting 4.5 right now in favor of Ohio State, 46.5, the prevailing total out there in this one. You take a look, and man, there's a lot of similarities in these two teams. There's not a lot of separation in these two teams. I think if you want to try and talk up Indiana, Mike, you can say, well, look, they went on the road and got a win at Iowa, and then went on the road and got a win at Oregon. So they've at least been tested. They've been battle tested, if you will. And then the flip side of that is, well, Ohio State hasn't been tested because they've just destroyed everybody, you know, on the season. So it's very interesting, certainly a very interesting game, and certainly a very interesting line from a money line standpoint as well. About plus 154, 155 out there if you like Indiana, yet Mendoza is plus 170 over in the Heisman market. I find it very hard to believe. I know Diego Pavia got bet like crazy, but I find it hard to believe that if Indiana wins this game, that Mendoza does not end up winning the Heisman.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. If this is an Indiana team that ends up going undefeated with the numbers that Mendoza has, and the culmination of the season, being able to win the Big Ten title game over number one Ohio State, who's your defending national title winner, it just feels like that's the storyline that gets you into that Heisman Trophy pose there for Mendoza. The Pavia money, I thought, has been interesting, Matt, because he was... we were talking about him 2 weeks ago, and people were joking that he had no shot, no path at all. And all of a sudden, he is considered the second favorite. He has been co-favorite in some books. So the money has just come in consistently on Pavia, and saying, still getting no respect here. He's about to, or has the opportunity to, quarterback an undefeated Ohio State team, but it doesn't feel like the saying, the tailwind behind Sain is nearly as strong as that tailwind behind Pavia.
Yeah, I am of the mindset that if you believe Indiana is going to win the game outright, I would probably just bet Mendoza to win the Heisman. And I understand it's not a guarantee, and I understand that it's still human beings and they can be weird and do weird things. But if Indiana beats Ohio State in the premier game of the day, and he's the favorite anyway in the market, Mike, like, how do you not give it to him? How do you give it to Pavia, who's not playing?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think he wins. I don't think there's a big enough gap for me want to do that, right? Like, if you look at this and you say, okay, when does the Heisman get announced? We're still a couple weeks away from that announcement. Plus 165, plus 170. I'd rather take the bird in the hand than two in the bush, right? Just give me the plus 165 now versus the plus 170 later. I don't hate the idea of splitting it up, or if you're really confident in Indiana, you have a money line bet and a bet on Mendoza to win the Heisman, because I agree with you. If Indiana wins this game, I'd be shocked if Mendoza doesn't win the Heisman. Even if he is like mediocre in this spot, I still think he should be the Heisman favorite through all of it. Again, the Pavia love is crazy to me, Matt. I understand statistically why. I understand the storyline. I get the reasoning behind the betting. The move in the number, though, just so drastic, down to sub plus 200 without playing one of these championship games after the Tennessee game. I was surprised to see that consistent move, and it was everywhere as well. It was just a flood of money on Pavia to win the Heisman.
Well, I mean, we watched as he was at 80-1, and then we watched by the end of the game, he's down to 20-1. And then we're kind of like, okay, that's cute. You know, I get it. 80-1, people want to take a, you know, people want to sit there and have a super long shot ticket and whatever. And then they just kept betting him. I mean, they just kept betting him and kept betting him and kept betting him and kept betting him. So there is somebody out there who truly believes that he is in the conversation for all of this. And I mean, again, it's the number one versus number two team in the country playing in the marquee game of the season, Mike, unless this is literally they both are 8 of 10 for 104 yards and it's all rushing and whatever and all this, like, I cannot imagine whatever quarterback wins this game isn't your Heisman winner.
Yeah, I agree. And like we talked about Pavia needing to have a monster game against Tennessee. He had a okay game throwing the football, 268 and a touchdown. He did go nuts on the ground for 165 yards and a touchdown. But I didn't think that was the statement that he needed to make to be able to be pushed all the way up here to be sitting at minus one or plus 180, the second choice in the Heisman. I don't think that Sayan's bettable at the current number. Plus 190 now sitting in the third spot. He'd have to have a monster game in this Big Ten title game. I'd rather just lay the four with Ohio State, because if he wins the Heisman, they win by like 21, right? That's his path, is an Ohio State blowout with a huge game from Sayan. I'd rather just lay it with Ohio State, take the 110 now, than worry about the future.
Bama defense has got to get off the field right here. 3rd and 17. For Georgia. So this, you cannot give this up if you have any hope at all. This is now at the six, by the time they snap this, going to be the 6.5 mark of the third quarter. Bama still scoreless here in this one, and you cannot give this up. So Georgia is in the shotgun. Looks like they're at least going to do some sort of something, unless it's just a screen. No, they throw it down the field. They get the majority of it, but not all of it. So they'll be punting away. They got 15 of the 17 needed. So Georgia will be punting it back to Alabama. Alabama will get it back about 5.5 left in the third quarter there. So defensive stand, they've held Georgia two drives in a row now, Mike, but if you can't do anything on offense, it doesn't really matter.
That's the thing. All three Georgia drives sub 50 yards for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You had the short drive off the block punt, a 42 yarder off the interception, and a 40 yarder after the punt return when Alabama was punting deep in their own territory. And field position wise, Georgia has been in control of this game every single step of the way. The average field position, I would assume, is wildly slanted. Haven't looked at the stats, but wildly slanted toward Georgia here, because every time you look up, Alabama's inside their own 20. Every time you look up on the Georgia side, the ball's right around midfield. This one goes into the end zone. So at least you have an opportunity here to try and push back, because that's not a very effective punt, just 30 net yards.
Make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. Guys, this is...
Omaha!
Yeah, you go. Well done. There you go. Obviously,
I every now and then.
It's the holiday season. Everybody goes, man, I don't know what to get people. What am I going to do? What do I need? How about you go to Omaha Steaks? They've got gift packages, of course, all the different stuff that you get over there, and 16 free smash burgers. It's a VEASAN exclusive, where you get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VEASAN. That is OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See the site for details, but go in right now. 16 free smash burgers with any order over $129 and 50% off site-wide at Omaha Steaks. We'll keep you updated here on Ready, Set, Bet when we get back.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you guys being with us. Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, terrestrial station across this great country of ours. It's still 21-0. Georgia over Alabama. Alabama, this is going to shock you guys, punting the ball back to Georgia.
So, no way.
Yeah, punting the ball. Back to Georgia, 3:48 left in the third quarter. Just again, cannot this Georgia defense, Mike. I mean, yes, the Alabama offense has struggled, but this Georgia defense, you got to look at this, and this has been a masterclass so far.
Georgia has 12 first downs. Alabama has 3. Georgia has 229 yards of total offense. Alabama has 82. They may not touch the ball before the fourth quarter and not have 100 yards of total offense. And we were talking about this during the break. I just want to bring this up. You're like, they shouldn't be penalized for making the title game. I still think it's legitimate to penalize them for making the title game, because if they lost one game, this wouldn't matter. They would be in. They lost to Florida State week one, which is possibly the worst loss of any team that is going to get an at-large bid to the college football playoff. maybe not the worst. It is a bottom five loss. If you don't lose that football game, this loss doesn't hurt you. You're just fine. So it, to me, it's one of those situations where it's like, yeah, I get it. You don't want to penalize teams for making their conference title game, but you're going to penalize BYU. How can you then come back and not penalize Alabama as well?
Yeah, it is a very, it's a sticky situation for me because like what I told you, you know, off air, and we'll bring it on air, it's just Ole Miss is sitting at home with zero threat of getting bumped, not making the game. Like, you know, Alabama made the game, and in theory, you know, if it, we're talking about this, that could play their way out of this. I mean, Georgia, again, they're at midfield. So, I mean, at, with first and 10 at midfield, this could easily be a 24-0, 28-0 game by the time this segment is over. And so, you know, I don't know, man. It is, it seems unfair, but I guess I see what you're saying.
Look, if you take care of business early in the season, it doesn't matter late in the season. It's just that simple. Like Notre Dame complaining about being on the bubble, don't lose your first two football games and you wouldn't be on the bubble right now, right? Miami, don't lose those two Friday night games in the ACC and it wouldn't matter what you did this weekend. Like, it's all of these different schools would have the opportunity had they just played earlier. Here's my other issue, Matt.
All right.
We have already diluted so many games in college football, okay? Those big games to open the season, they feel less important to make the college football playoff. Rivalry weekend last weekend didn't have much juice because it didn't make that big of a difference toward the college football playoff. If you're now telling me that conference championship Saturday doesn't have any juice because there's not a big difference of whether or not you win or lose to make the college football playoff, what are we doing this for? Like we're already devaluing all of these different games. How can you have a data point and just say, well, that one's not important because... Like, you're already devaluing all these different regular season pieces. You have to look at the situation as a whole. And, yeah, I agree. It stinks for Bama if they get knocked out because they lose here. But the fact of the matter is they lost games earlier that could have prevented them from being a two-loss team.
It almost makes me wonder if the coaching staff does think that depending on how this goes, they could be booted from the playoff, Mike. Because we just saw a punt on 4th and 2. They're down 3 touchdowns with – at the time, there was like 19 minutes left of game time, you know? Like, if you are trying to win the game, I understand that if you get stopped, then Georgia has the ball deep in your territory. But again, like, if you're trying to win the game, you have to go for 4th and 2 in that situation. But they might be thinking, we can't get blown out in this game because we might get booted if we get blown out.
That you're dead on, because if you also go for it on 4th and 2 there, you're going for it on 4th down the rest of the game. You're setting that mentality that you have a limited number of possessions, which, by the way, they are correct. They're probably not going to have the football 4 more times in this game, right? We've got a minute left here in the third quarter. Now, going to be less than 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter when Georgia is going to punt the football back to them. You're in a position where you're making the decision. What is more important, to lose by 21 or to have a chance to win the SEC title?
Yeah. And it seems like they've made the choice where we got to try to make this as cosmetically pleasing as possible.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, like, how do you feel about that, Matt? Yeah. That you have a team that's not trying to win the SEC championship game. You have a team that is trying to not lose it so badly.
Yeah. That has to be. It was 4th and 2. You're down 3 touchdowns. You can't be punting the ball back. But here we are. We'll see what happens. Like you said, exactly 10 seconds left in the third quarter when Alabama will start. So they'll run one play, and then we will head to the fourth quarter there in that one. Mike, a little bit earlier, Adam Schefter came out and said the Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to fire coach Mike Tomlin, but they do have a significant decision to make early next year. After this season, Tomlin's contract will have 2 years remaining on it, 2026, and a team option for 2027. So it will, but they must decide whether to pick up the option by March the 1st. So by March 1, we will know whether the Steelers pick up that 2027 option or not, or if they're just going to play out 2026 and kind of see how it goes.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think you could trade Mike Tomlin for? Do you think the Steelers could get like a first rounder, second rounder for him? What would his value be in the trade market?
I don't know. I think that ship has sailed.
You think so?
The coach getting traded
thing. I would be
trying
to trade him if I was the Steelers. I think I know I'm moving on.
I think the coach trade thing.
Before he walks out the door.
I think the coach trade thing is like, I think that ship has sailed. I don't think we're going to see
that. Nah, that's a bummer. That would be so spicy. How fun would it be if Schefter's reporting, the Las Vegas Raiders have traded a second and a third for Mike Tomlin. Come on. That would be an interesting story.
It really would. So because we've been giving you guys updates, I want to go in and take a look. And people not as confident now, minus 350 for Alabama to make the playoff. Notre Dame now out to minus 1,000.
Yeah, so Notre Dame money consistently coming in here. Miami money is creeping in, though, as we see Bama get back to that minus 500 to minus 350. Miami drops from plus 170 to plus 140. So they are it looks like people are now saying it's between Miami and Alabama versus Notre Dame and Miami, which was the storyline heading into this game.
These are so fun because it's just people are just guessing. Like, literally these are bets. Yeah. This is pure gambling. Right here, because you have no idea what those people are doing in that room. Like, I mean, there are five different outcomes, and you and I would sit on here and be like, I'm not surprised by any of the five, because it's dudes just sitting in a room, just being like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this, Bob? I don't know, what you think about this, Jeff? And like, whatever, next thing you know, it's just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is pure gambling at its finest.
This is the genius of the college football playoff and the genius of March Madness. Is that it's just a committee of random people, right? Who don't really know like a ton about sports. It's like Chancellor. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like a bunch of football coaches, people that gamble on football for a living. It is very much people that are not in the everyday grind of football that are making this decision. And then like, there's no checks and balances. Whatever they decide goes. No one's ever gonna be like, well, they really got it wrong. We're gonna switch this for that. You're just gonna have talking heads talk about it. So betting on it kind of feels like you're on the river, Matt. And you like your hand, but you're not sure how much. And he might be bluffing. It's like an 80% chance. Like that's the situation the gamblers are putting themselves in here, because you are trying to read the room of a less than readable room. We'll just put it that way.
I will say this: if Georgia doesn't tack on anything here in the second half, then Alabama's going to make it. Like people attack it. Okay, one bad half. You know what I'm saying? Like you can hear the story already, right? It's like one bad half. We're not keeping them out for one bad half. You know, Georgia will have to score here in the second half for Bama to stay out. They're not booting the number one SEC seed in the regular season for one bad half. It's not going to happen.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I actually think Miami is going to be on the outside looking in when we actually see this. I think this result, like I said, gives them the ability to put Notre Dame above Alabama. So Miami and Notre Dame aren't next to each other. It gives them an out there to not have to stare at the head-to-head and make those adjustments and have to answer all of those questions about how your number 10 and 11 team played head-to-head. How is 10 the loser of that game ahead of number 11? What's the point of scheduling games? This gives them the out to slide Bama right in between those two teams and say, look, we can't knock Bama out. They had to play an extra game. They were the number one seed in the SEC. That's the toughest conference. How do we possibly leave them out? And Notre Dame and Miami, there was someone in between them, so we couldn't look at head-to-head. Mm-hmm. We had to look at the overall resume, and we felt that Notre Dame, the way they finished the season, was playing better than Miami, who had an opportunity to win the ACC and couldn't get it done.
Guys, if you have not become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, you got to get in. It is just $60 from now until May the 1st. We've extended our Black Friday, our Cyber Monday, Cyber Week, all the different sales. This is all wrapped into one here. $60, everything we do now until May the 1st. But you got to do this. It ends tomorrow. So me and Mike Simons are going to be in here tomorrow. We'll be reading the same read, except we'll say it ends today. So go in. Don't waste the time. You might get busy tomorrow and forget about it. So go in right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's $60. Everything now until May the 1st. All the best bets, all the splits, all the projections, all the betting guides that we do over at VSiN. VSiN.com/subscribe.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, boy. It was a touchdown, should have been a touchdown for Alabama. Literally doinks the receiver in the chest. And then the cornerback gets up like he did something. Like he's like he broke the pass up. It's like, no, man, hit him directly in the chest. And he dropped it. Would have been huge. Now it's 3rd and 10 for Alabama. Another free runner. Oh, good time to set up a screen. They knew they were coming at him. It's going to be a touchdown for Alabama. Okay. 21-6, extra point pending. They're in now for sure. It's like we can end the discussion.
We can end. I will see.
Yeah, we can end.
They should be.
Yeah.
And now Notre Dame's got to worry that Miami Notre Dame are next to each other. Bama makes this close, Matt.
Yeah. So just unbelievable. They called up a little screen there at the little wide receiver screen at the perfect time. They knew Georgia was going to come. They've been coming at him every third down, and they finally make the right call. Right there in the end zone. Again, extra point is pending to make this thing 21-7 and much more interesting over there in the SEC championship game. It is up and good. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Rohit Panea covers. He is the betting analyst for MMA at @covers_row on the Twitter machine. Rohit, how you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you guys?
We are rocking and rolling. A big pay-per-view, the last of the pay-per-view era for the UFC 323 this evening. And I know this isn't one of your official bets, but can we talk a little bit about Merab versus Piotr Jan here? It's -410 at DraftKings for Merab, +320 for Jan. We're looking at a 4.5 over-under at -330 on the over.
Yeah, I mean, it's another rematch. I mean, it's not a title rematch, but it's something we saw a few years ago. Don't really see this fight going a whole lot different than that one. Main reason I don't have a bet on it is I just think it's a dog or a pass spot. Mm-hmm. You look at Merab, and he's a decision machine. I've been betting Merab to win by decision in just about every fight he's had for the last 4 or 5 years. 12 of his last 14 wins coming by decision, including that previous one against Jan. But even Merab by decision is like -270 here. So not much value there. And I do think Jan is the sort of fighter that could steal a round or two. He didn't the first time, but there were some weird things kind of out of that fight. Mm-hmm. He was a little bit banged up entering that fight. And Merab is entering that age. You know, he's getting closer to 35. That's that age when a lot of those those lighter champions kind of drop off a little bit. So there are a few reasons to maybe like Jan as a bit of an underdog in this spot. At the same time, I think Merab's going to win this one. I just don't think there's any value, betting value at all on this fight at all. I mean, I think it's going to go the distance, but when you're laying, -330 on the over 4.5 rounds, just not a ton to bet on there.
Yeah, the -330 there. One of those that maybe you sneak into a parlay, but not something you want to bet straight up there. It looks like it could go the distance in that spot. We do have a nice prelim card here before we get going with the main event. One of the bouts there, a women's flyweight bout where Marcy Barber going to take on Karine Silva. Barber right now, -205 favorite, but you want to tack this a little different angle.
Yeah, I mean, this is another spot. There's a lot of fights on this card, especially when you're heading a bit closer towards the main card. A lot of the fights are expected to go the distance. And so, you know, taking a fighter to win by decision is the way to go. And I think Barber by points is the way to go there. Silva's always been a little bit up and down. You know, Barber's, you know, had kind of her ups and downs as well. But for the most part, she's just a little bit more well-rounded, a little bit slicker on her feet as well, a little bit stronger. And I think she's just going to be able to control her, hold her down, and bully her for 3 rounds. So I think you're going to get a decision win. Almost all of Barber's wins tend to come by decision. She does a lot of ground control, tends to, you know, win, but grinding out rounds. So I think that's her way to win here. And that's something that has a lot of value, even if it might not be the most fun to watch, fight to watch tonight.
5 wins in a row for Josh Van as he goes for the flyweight title against Pantoja. It is +185 for Van, -225 there for Pantoja. We got a 3.5 for the total rounds there in that one. What say you here in this one?
You know, this is another really interesting one where you've got that champion who's 35. He's almost lapped the division at this point, taking on a young up-and-coming guy in Van who has looked fantastic. But I do think this is going to be a little bit too much too soon for Van. You know, he hasn't faced a lot of high-end competition. Roy Val was really the only ranked fighter he's really gone up against. Great fight there, but it was 3 rounds, wasn't a 5-rounder. And, you know, part of the thing with Roy Val is the guy is so fun to watch. He's an absolute dog, but he doesn't have the best fight IQ. And Roy Val just went into it with a slugfest.
They just had a brawl for 15 minutes. He didn't even try to implement his grappling at all. But you know that Pantoja is going to use his grappling. He is going to use his wrestling. And while there's, you know, maybe a slight edge to Van standing up, Pantoja is going to have huge advantage on the ground. I think Pantoja is going to be able to take him down. And I think once he gets him on the mat, he's going to be able to get into either take his back with his transitions, or he's going to be able to establish some sort of control. So I think he's probably going to win by decision or sub. You can get him by sub at about plus 150 at most books. So I think that's the best way to kind of attack this one. But I think Pantoja is going to win this one. And it's kind of nice that we're getting the odds come down a little bit here, because he opened at, I think, minus 250, was up to minus 275. So we are getting a little bit of late money coming in on Van. So nice time to maybe come on in on the other side and take the champ.
One of the more evenly matched fights on the card here is Brandon Moreno taking on Tetsuro. I'm going to butcher the last name. Tyria. I was trying to find a name I could do here. It's one of the more evenly matched with Tyria minus 120 here. Moreno coming back the other way at plus 100. Who do you like in this spot?
I like Moreno. I think, you know, this is one of those fighters that at this point, it's clear that, you know, Pantoja is the top fighter in this division, but Moreno's probably 1B. I mean, he had a very close fight with Pantoja, you know, a couple of years ago. He was the champ before. He's still pretty young. He has got a lot of, you know, wear on his tires. He's gotten in a lot of, you know, physical fights over the years. But at the same time, he's 31 years old, so he's not that old. He's fought a lot of high caliber opposition. He's beaten a lot of those guys. He's the absolute dog. He's extremely well-rounded, really good striking, good grappling as well. And Tyra is a little bit one-dimensional. In terms of the striking, he can't really compete with Moreno. He's going to have to use his grappling. But Moreno's the sort of guy that's not going to be held down. Really good off his back, really good scrambling. And like I said, he's been in there with the best of the best. He's been in there with Pantoja, with the Figueiredos, with the guys that, you know how to, you know, win at this level, at the highest echelon. And he knows what it takes to get those wins. So I think he's going to be able to get the win here. And being able to get him at plus 100 is really nice value.
Talking to Rohit Panea over there at @covers_ro on the Twitter machine. Kind enough to talk UFC 323 with us here on a Saturday. Let's kick things off on the pay-per-view card. Jan Blachowicz against Bogdan Guskov. This is about kind of a coin flip here. Minus 108, minus 112 in this one. 2.5 is shaded towards the under on the total. How are you looking at this one?
You know, this is another one, kind of the same handicapping style I was using for the last fight. One of these guys has proven himself time in and time out against the best of the division. The other guy is relatively unproven. And once again, I'm leading with the slightly older fighter, the guy that maybe, you know, isn't quite as active lately. But Blachowicz is a guy that, you know, you look at his losses recently, and they're up against literally the best guys in the division, right? He went the distance against Olberg, went the distance against Alex Pereira, you know, had the draw with Magomed Ankalaev. So, yeah, I mean, he's maybe not what he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, or when he beat Adesanya when he was the champ, but he hasn't lost a ton. And we're looking at light heavyweight division, where you can be a little bit older, you know, reflexes don't matter quite as much as some of those lighter divisions, and things like skill, you know, technical ability, power, strength, all those things matter a little bit more. And he still has those, even at the age of, you know, 41, 42, whatever he is. And if you look at Guskov just doesn't, you know, have that same caliber of fighters on his resume. He was coming off probably the best win of his career, and that was against Nikita Krylov. And Krylov might be a little bit washed. I mean, Krylov was done for 2 years with a shoulder injury, came back, was immediately knocked out, and then was immediately knocked out again by Guskov. So, you know, that's the best win on his resume, and it might not really be that great. He's going up against a guy in Blachowicz who's extremely well-rounded, very technical, and also very defensively sound. Guskov's a guy that wins by knocking people out, and I don't think Blachowicz is going to let him get close enough to knock him out or land those heavy shots. If Pereira couldn't knock him out, I really don't think Guskov's going to be able to. I think we're going to see Blachowicz get the win.
He's Rohit Panea. You can find him over at Covers, at @covers_row on the Twitter machine, man. Appreciate the time and enjoy the fights. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. Best of luck.
Mike, I'm looking out for you, buddy. See, I took Blachowicz and Guskov from. I didn't make you have to do that. I really was hoping you were going to go and go with that one. I wanted to see what you came up with Blachowicz, but you passed on.
I had another question where I did not have to say any name in the back of my head. I was going to go with a completely different one where I got to avoid the names had it come up, Matt. I was prepared.
Absolutely love it. Guys, we have AI props over on the site now if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. We've had NFL for a while. We've just added NBA. You can go in. Of course, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers are still over there for the NFL side of things. But on the NBA, points, rebounds, assists, and three-point projections are live now. VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN Pro subscriber and take advantage of those projections powered by Opta AI. The good news, Alabama made Georgia punt. The bad news, the guy tried to casually catch it over his shoulder at the 3-yard line, almost fumbled it away, but instead they will take over inside their own five. What are these guys doing?